Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Once again, we bless thy holy name. For thou art worthy of praise, O Lord. We bless thee, O Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, for Calvary. It is because of Calvary, Father, that we are gathered together. Yes. It is the place where we see propitiation for sins, yes, being paid. A price for sins was paid, yes, at that place. And we know, Father, that's history. But we know, Lord, way back even before the world was created, before the heaven and earth came into existence, O Father, you have already done crucify your only begotten Son. But you have to bring it into reality. And we have that reality. Not only, Father, what we know of history, Lord, but the reality that what affects us in our life. Because the one who died on the cross, he resurrected, he raised from the dead, and he gave us his very own spirit of eternal life. And we thank you, Lord, that we are here today because of the great grief that you have given to us so far. So, Father, as you gather around thy word now, Father, in our hearts rejoice so far. To learn of your goodness, your grace, all your mercy, all your virtue that you have given to Christ Jesus, Father, that is also given to us. That may we experience it and walk in the light of that which you have given us, Father. Asking that you bless now, Father, we approach the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be saved. All right, to the book of Philippians, where we left off. Let's just continue with verse 12. And I know, I try to not to exert too much, because if I exert too much, I find myself very breathless there. All right. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now last week we finished off with that verse, and now it's very important that we take note of how words are in-breathed by God. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for your salvation. We don't work for our salvation. Salvation has already been paid. Right? Redemption has already been dealt with. Christ has paid the full price of it. But we work out our salvation means to exercise the gift that we have been given and handling it in the way that with respect to God, with fear and trembling, knowing that the gift that is given to us is precious. So we do not want to handle it anyhow. Do you know that every one of you who are born again, this is a gift for you? And how do you handle that gift? How do you manifest that gift? There are a lot of Christians that couldn't care less. They say, oh, I have eternal life. But their lives are not living right to glorify God. There's no fear and trembling in how they handle the guilt. You know, this eternal life gift, you can say it is more precious than fine gold. Right? It's a very delicate thing. It's life. You know, when we talk about life in the balance, you know what I mean? Everybody, when they have lives in the balance, they're fighting for their life. They want to make sure that they live is because they want to live. Unless, of course, you don't want to live. And then you will handle life anyhow. And I don't think anybody who's sane, of a sane mind, a mind that is, you know, not mentally sick, sound mind, will not simply live a life that is callous. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, many times when we are young, yeah, we go about living our life, we don't think much, we sometimes do foolish things. Then when we get to a certain age, when we develop certain condition of health that is not good, we become aware that we need to do something about it. We take some good supplement, we take some vitamin, which perhaps we do refuse to take because we think we are okay. And many a time, a lot of people don't realize, especially in Singapore in here, people are stressed out with work. They think they don't need supplement. They think that the food they eat will be enough. Hey, you are not a farmer out there in the province, in the farm. Because the stretch of life, what you are doing at the table, your mental, you know how much? If you're sitting at the table, you're burning calories. And many times they affect you. Many times we don't realize that. But when we realize we're in such condition, we treasure that life. Of course, you want to do something that's right. So if we have eternal life, then we should live this life. Walk it out with fear and trembling before the Lord. That we don't want to displease Him, we don't want to disgrace His name. A lot of Christians live their life that doesn't please God at all. Right? Salvation is not just a meeting. Yes, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I repent of my sin. That's it. But that's not what it is. And we know, okay, let's go back again to James chapter 2. And when you look closely, James chapter 2 verse 20 to 22. But would thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his work, and by works was faith made perfect. And I said the word works in the Bible translate work is not as good. Agon is, we can translate as action. Something that you do and act, you see. So faith should produce an action to show that you really have that faith. Abraham had that, was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. See? So you not just say, oh yeah, I have faith, I have eternal life because the Bible said so, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. That's not what it is. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling, it's just like this. I remember my mother in, I think now there, I'm not sure whether woman, how many women are doing that. But in my day, my mom used to make, what you call, do embroidery. You know embroidery work, right? Yeah, she would have a kind of frame, a round frame where a press a cloth right there, and then there will be some outlines of some pictures of flowers or birds or whatever, and she will use needle thread here, up, down, right? So, if you walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, it's something like that. Salvation is given to us, but there is a life that we have that God gives to us. What is that life? That we be conformed to the image of His Son. Is that all right? So we have that frame that we should conform to the image of the Son. So We've got to work it out, up, down, up, down, to get that image right. That is what I mean by working it out. Or in the garden you have. I mean, many of us don't have garden anyway. If you have anywhere, you have some flower pot, whatever, some little nursery in your own home, you need to take care of it. Or else you got all these weeds coming out, right? And then if you don't have enough water, no nutrients, the plant is going to die. So work it out. It means make a garden the way that you wanted it. And broadly is the same the way you wanted it. Our life as a Christian is the same, that we conform to the image. Not just, yeah, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but we are not conforming to that image. We don't embroider our way to that image. Or we don't weed out all those weeds of sins and bad behavior and characters. That's what the Bible is talking about. Not that you work for your salvation. We already have it. Show it. All right. Let's go on. So all this that we do with, you know, as the Bible says, with fear and trembling, so that we would have God's pleasure looking upon us, and God will be happy to know that we are walking in the way that we go. That's why God was very happy with Abraham, and Abraham was called a friend of God. Right? You know, they said that a friend is closer than a brother. Literally, it's true. And Jesus Christ is not just a brother, but he's also a friend. Alright, verse 13. For it is God which worked in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. For it is God's work in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Sometime when I look a little bit closer on this, you know, if I'm a Christian who have to go through a lot of trials, yeah, I don't like it. Look at it very carefully. Both to do his will and his own good pleasure, how he deal with you. Think about it, huh? Seeds after his own kind. From mango, seed, you get mango tree. Grow up, you get mangoes. Right? Seeds after his own kind. So if we are God's seed, and that's why he says, for it is God's work in you, because we are his seed, and he has to do his will in us, both to will and to do his own, his good pleasure. And the Bible said, all things work together for good to them that love God. The creation of God, it is for God. God has his own pleasure to do whatever he wants. He craves for what he wants. You know, people are very astounded, very amazed by what this Hubble telescope, what is the latest Webb telescope, James Webb telescope, whatever you call it, they have taken a lot of these new, distant pictures of the space, stars and all. Huh? I mean, my younger day, just to see Saturn, Neptune. Wow. You know, the planet will ring Saturn. So, wow, what is that? God created in just this to show the beauty. It is his own good pleasure to do what he wants. And every seed after his own kind, if we are God's seed, his will must be done in us. He will it, and he give it to you. Did you ask for eternal life? Did you seek for eternal life? Did we seek for God? It is God that seeks for us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, no man seeketh after God. It is so true. Because we are like sheep, all gone his own way. So when he will that we are his seed, he must make that seed grow. And he will make that seed grow according to his own good pleasure. Every one of us, God deal with us differently. You must understand it. God deal with us differently. Verse 14. Remember this, as I will read, that we must be conformed to the image of the Son, right? So it means say that our life that God has given us, life that God has given, is already etched in the image of Christ. You know what I'm saying? The embroidery thing, the embroidery picture that you know how you do, is already etched there. So we have to conform to it. God, make sure that we come to that place. I mean, some of us, for example, I was a Christian before I was 12 years old. All right, it's such a long journey. All right, going through a lot of trials and up and down. But some of you maybe, yeah, like some people say, oh, he wasn't a Christian, and he is now 70 years old, and he's dying, and on his deathbed, say, oh Lord Jesus, save me. He repented of sin. Wow, there's nothing much in his journey. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe someone became a Christian, you know, and after 2 years, you know, he lived a good Christian, and then he passed away. Well, what kind of, not much of a journey, sure. And then for me, I'm 74 years old now, 62 years in my journey. With ups and downs, ups and downs. Wow. That's not fair, Lord. That's not fair. Who is saying that's not fair? In life, nothing is fair. God deals with us differently. And there is a purpose in our life. Do you know? Let me tell you this. My sister in America sent me a video. Asked me to look at it. It was an interview on a certain program with a woman who is Ceylonese or Sri Lanka, because that was last time. But it's Indian, living in India or something like that. But she studied in America or something. I can't remember right now. But the thing is that she was young, at a young age, teenager, and she was diagnosed with MS. You know what MS is? Multiple sclerosis. And the chances of survival is particularly nil. Everything is not moving in the body. And she could not even stand, because she was paralyzed. And she couldn't even swallow all that. And she was treated, but they told her the chances of recovery is very, very poor. And she was praying and says, Lord, please, please, please. Heal me, this and that. And I was thinking, you're asking the Lord, please, please, please. Then she said, after a while she realized, it's no use. God knows. And he said, Lord, you make me your appointed in this world. There must be a purpose. If there's no purpose, take me home. If there is a purpose, then save me. Heal me. And then he said, she said, what she read about Paul in the book of Philippians. My Paul said, I'm between two choices. To go or to continue living. So he says, leave it to you alone. And you know what? Something miraculous happened. Somehow she had this knowledge that God is going to heal her on a certain day in a certain year. Wow. And she told it to her four friends, I think, very close friends, about what the Lord told her, the impression the Lord gave her. And after by and by, as the time goes down, she has a long wing. What time? And she was told that she will be healed, she will walk and stand up at 3:30 in the afternoon. Wow. So the very day, it seems like time was like eternity, it's waiting for 3:30. Paul to get out of the bin and walk and stay and walk. The friend was there. The doctor was there. And as the clock comes to 3:30, she saw a light and saw Christ. And then the moment she stood up. Imagine the miracle. Because the Lord told her, I will raise you up. I want you to be a witness to the people in India. And today, I think she is quite a senior person now. She had a worship center. I'm not sure whether she's really preaching, but they call her Reverend. Her name is Nita Edwards. People from India, they get people to come, the frontiers, the poor, to come and worship Christ. And he will give her testimony, you know, and share the Bible, but I don't know whether she's actually teaching them anything about doctrines or not. Because after all, you know, when she's known about this miracle, other Christian organizations comes together and, you know, to promote her ministry, promote her and give her testimony and outreach to people. And so by and by, somehow, of course, she became a reverend. But that is God's grace to her. You know, and we know what Paul said about women should never be usurping the authority of a man. But it's all right for her to share her testimony about the goodness of God. But whether or not she was a preacher, she's a preacher, I have no idea. So you see, the thing is that God deals with a person's life. God can choose Judas his career. And what purpose, what does it serve? It serves a purpose that Judas betrayed Christ. You don't know what I'm saying? And so I said many times, any group, in any assembly, in any organization where there are a group of people, the enemy is not from without. The Bible tells us this in the book of James. The enemy is within. Over the years of this ministry, there are enemies within. And the way that they do things, that they will undermine the whole thing. Just unbelievable. What did God allow them? People are so close. Trouble with me. Helping the ministry. And all that. And yet, undermine the ministry. And that is why it is. Because everyone wants to have their own way. But God has a purpose. Because you see, they are always sieving. God is sieving. God give you a choice. God give you a chance. God give you that privilege to hear the word of the Lord. But yet, if we go the way we want to go with our own mind, then we get into trouble. Alright? Verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's why you take charge, okay, of your own life. Stop grumbling. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why did I get this? Why did I get that? Why did this thing happen? What? You want a life that's full of roses? That your bed is full of rose petal? That the way you walk is full of rose petal? There's no such a thing. The Bible already tells us the rain falls upon the just and unjust. You know that very well. Alright? Do all things without murmuring, that ye be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Who, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. No wonder other places, the book of Job, I believe, or in the book of Proverbs, it says that you know, serve the Lord in the days of your youth. Because when you're old, you can't do much. When you are young, yeah, you can do a lot. So don't. And of course, I say, what is so very true? Because beyond the grave, there's nothing. Would you, if I'm being called to do a ministry, if I don't do it with all my strength, I do it half-heartedly, I will regret when I go to the grave. As Paul said, I've run the race. I fight a good fight. I finish it. The course. Finish the work that was given to me. See? Alright, let's go to another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27. But I keep my under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others I myself should be a cast away. So we have to buffet our body, buffet our life. You know, as we punch and honor, push our way forward, we preach the gospel, we live the Christian life, but yet claiming that, as Paul is talking especially, claiming to have the ministry preaching the gospel, yet if I don't bring my body under subjection, what then? I'd be cast away. I'm a hypocrite. I remember this Benny Hinn. You know, he some few years back, he repented of what he preached, some of it. You know. Once you enter into charismaticism, and that's why it's very important not to believe charismatic preacher all the time. I've been to heaven. I went to heaven. I see Jesus, I see the Father, I see the Holy Spirit or whatever. You know, some of the things are rubbish. Exaggeration. They might have a dream. They might have a vision, but they exaggerate until as if they spend a whole, one whole 24-hour day in heaven. Huh? One of them was so famous, people are believing in it. They even sold a book. Yeah. She said, went to heaven and she walked down the streets of God. I want to walk on the streets of God. I want to go and see my mansion because God said, and Jesus said that, you know, I have a mansion in heaven. And he said, the angel lead him to the mansion. He said, exactly what I want. A front gate with the door open and there is a fountain in front of the big mansion. How many rooms is in a mansion? Huh? 12. How many servants do you need to clean up the whole mansion there? I mean, you know that sort of thing. I exaggerate. I went down to hell and I said, Elvis Presley was yelling there. I went to hell and I went, saw this, all these movie stars and all this. Oh my. They were yelling in the flame of fire. You know, these are all nonsense. Huh? Nobody has seen hell the way it was. In the Bible, what do you see over there? In the Bible, wrote about hell. What do you write about hell? Do you know hell now even exists now? Nobody is in hellfire. They are in the place of the departed dead, those wicked ones. They are there. Yeah, they are tormented in the heat. What kind of heat is that? That's all the people read. They don't want the reading about. Your conscience is a worm that died not when you are wicked, when you did something. Tell you what, now you say you're a Christian, go and do some shoplifting and walk out with a handphone or something and see whether that worm will not dig into you and see whether you're on fire. Huh? Wow. Alright. So we know that God God promises us something, so we do our duty, okay? Because God works from the inside out. Now, in this verse 15, that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Not that only in the days of Paul was there such a crooked generation of people, of perverse nations, perverse generation. What we are living in the days that are worse than that. The Bible in Matthew 24 tells us that as the day of Christ approaches, right, we see also the perversion. Yes. Not only just about diseases increase, but knowledge increase, earthquake, flooding, famines, and whatever not. And the people are more wicked than it was before. Now, you know, somehow I'm watching a documentary about the Falun Gong. You know Falun Gong? I heard about it back so many years ago, but I didn't already see what a big hullabaloo it is. I know how the China's government was against it, so on. And then I do read into some document and some watch that documentary. You know, it's a drama of a true event that took place. Wow, I couldn't believe that the Chinese government at that time, in 1999, people have already before that practicing Qigong. Huh? And Falun Gong was founded by a man called Li Chonghee. And he promoted it. And so Chinese in China, people begin to practice, because it's all about health. It's about Qigong, you know. And of course there are certain principles, meditation. You understand that some kind of philosophy that they embrace, some ritual that they embrace, but it has nothing to do about God. It's something about being, you know, as we are human beings as part of the whole universe. Now in Buddhism, that you are one with the universe, or that you become, you know, reach Nirvana, and all these teachings. So, in actual fact, Buddhism is not even worshipping of any god. It's a philosophy, it's a religion, it's quite religion. You know what religion is? Religion means there's a set of creed, a set of practices that you do. You know, if you go to the mall, outside the mall, sometime in the south, the mall where you're allowed to smoke, and you can see in the morning there's a ritual. Smoker will gather there during tea break. That's a religion. I must have my fixed, my ritual of smoking. And there are people after work, their religion is to have two or three bottles of Heineken or Tiger beer. That's a religion. Huh? So it's a practice. But you know, I was thinking, wow, these people are all innocent. They want to practice, they just want to have their health, you know. And yet the government crammed down, and there are a lot of lies. A lot of things that were done, propagation, a whole lot of lies. And I was thinking, yeah, China is bad. America is also bad. There's a whole lot of lies now, more lies than ever before. Europe, the same. Many countries are in this age, as the Bible already said, not only just in the day of Paul, but it is a day when there's a crooked and perverse nation, and that we should shine forth as lights. And now the Falun Gong followers, many of them died. Thousands were persecuted and brought to jail, tortured. And many of them were willing to die for what they believe. You know. Well, today they're still not allowed to practice, but there are still people doing it. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We cannot. I mean, after all, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth too. And if we are Christian, how are we going to keep quiet that we are not a Christian? Don't tell anybody else. Don't tell people that we are Christian. Are you ashamed of being a Christian? Think about it. Because if you are a city on a hill, you have to shine forth the light. Unless you are not a city on a hill, unless you are living in a cave or in a dungeon, you don't have any light to shine. No? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why I said many times, read the way it should be read. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are God's Son. But don't say, I am God's Son. I will be led by the Spirit. Many of them people say that. And I'm a Christian, you know. I live the Christian life, you know. But that's not really true. Many of them don't live the Christian life. You know that there are Christians who have been caught stealing things, or even preacher will do something bad. Huh? Maybe a pedophile preacher. When they're caught, you know, by police or whatever it is, they say, no, I'm a preacher, you know. So what? You don't tell me the preacher don't commit sin? Huh? If you are a true preacher, if you are a true Christian, and we are being led by the Holy Spirit, this thing will not be done. Isn't that true? You will not commit all those things. Yeah, remember I told you when I was young, young little fellow trying to eat the shredded ice and was cheating that the man, the stork, you know, who was making a nice dish. Man, I tell you, that conscience pricked me. Yes. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yeah, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also you joy and rejoice with me. Love constrained. This is one of the things about what Paul wrote here. As you know, this book is about contentment and joy. You know, Paul said, holding forth the word of faith, that I may rejoice that every one of you holding that faith, so that we all may rejoice together when we come see Christ together. And what a day that will be. And Paul said, that I have not run in vain. Myself, I may not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, Paul said, I work so hard. And even if I have to sacrifice myself on the altar, this sacrifice offered upon the sacrifice is like the time when King David, you know, when he went to war with Saul and then came to a place with his general, and he was longing for that water to drink. And his general went and fetched it for him. You know what? They risked their life to get water for him. So what did he do with the water? He poured it under the ground. And that's what it is, you see. Paul is saying, I'm willing to pour myself as a sacrifice for you. For God's ministry to the people. And Paul was in prison here in house arrest, chained, couldn't go anywhere else of the house. And this was his letter to the believer in Philippi. Yeah, and if I be offered like a perfume upon pouring out myself to for the sacrifice and service of your faith. For you, I joy and rejoice with you. Now, Paul talks about joy and rejoice. Oh, the word joy, J-O-Y, just put the R in front with the dash, rejoice. It's a similar. Time and again, I rejoice, joy, and I'm full of joy. And he also said, for the same cause, always do you joy and rejoice with me. No matter what I am going through, rejoice with me. And I know you do, as Paul told his Philippians. Because why? They sent a young man to aid, to help Paul. And that man's name was Epaphroditus. So how much love do the people there in Philippi love Paul? Let's go to John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believe in me, or on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. As in the book of Isaiah or Hosea, I would say, ho, drink! Drink freely! Buy it without money. Milk. You know, that which we believe in Christ, it is free. And so we should rejoice. From our inside here, you know, have you seen Christian that is always down and out? Yeah, I have seen Christian who is always down and out. It seems that everything seems to be very wrong. Do you know why? It's because the relationship with God is not really real. A lot of Christians get up in the morning, they don't spend time in prayer, they don't spend time with the Lord. You know, I get up in the morning many times. I get up in the morning, I get this back pain. You know, I have a problem condition. I have spondylosis in my neck and the lumbar, and I have kidney stones on my right side. And I have this pamphlet in my hand. Okay, and now I have this tumor. Wow. Sometimes I get out in the morning, I feel this pain. I don't know whether it was because of spondylosis, because, and, you know, I don't move at night or something, and then the pressure turned to one side because of this pain. I don't know. Or whether it was the kidney stone that's very troubling. I don't know. Or whether there was something else here. This one that happened on the right side, when it jumped, I know there's a certain place. But this one radiates all the back, and I, back. And sometimes I have to sit on bed for a little while, because I could move. But I have to move. And I don't have to stretch myself, move and open the window and just praise the Lord. And then go do my breakfast and do what needs to be done. And go for the walk. I'm not going to say, I'm going to sit down because the pain is there. I'm going to sit down here. I'm not going to sit down and die. And now the question is, oh, the trouble about life. Everything seems to be just grooming. Paul said, rejoice. In my point, in this condition, said, rejoice, I rejoice with you. Just to think about you. And that's what I do. I think about when I'm all there in the night, when I sit and pray, I think about the ministry out there. I think about those brethren who came across me, who came to the truth because what was given out from here. I think about Brother Andrew, Brother Nye, Brother Israel, and all those out there that I know who came to the faith. Sister Bree, Sister Gratty, and all those others. I rejoice! You know. And I rejoice knowing that they are praying for me. And that's one thing about it, is we edify one another, pray for one another, knowing that, you know, I know that you are doing it for me, you're praying for me, and you know that I'm praying for you.
Wow, this is a big family here. I joy and rejoice because you care for me, as Paul said to the Philippians. And better than know that Paul cared for them. Wow. Verse 4 and 14, that's John, sorry. 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. Oh, am I giving the right verse? Okay. For whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life. When the water spring up into everlasting life, you should have joy. The day that Christ give me the Holy Spirit, wow. I don't know about you people, how you what you experience in your life. Huh? There are some people that experience tremendous kind of emotion because their life that they live at one stage now change to another, and a sudden change. Then that is kind of an experience. But let us go and see what here about Timothy now and Epaphroditus. Verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2. But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I am no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:15. Let's see what it says here. 2 Timothy. Am I looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse. Oh, sorry. Chapter 1 verse 5. Who is Timothy? When I call to remembrance, this is Paul, letter to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunike, and I am persuaded in thee also. Now, that's what Paul talk about Timothy. He was raised up in a family of believers except for the father. Huh? The mother, Eunike, or we're going to call Eunice. Now, she was a Jew. She's Jewish. But the father is a Gentile. The grandmother is also a believer. So the grandmother and the mother brought him up from a baby. Actually, from the age when they are able to talk, around 5 years old, they have already been taught to sing. Some hymns, some, you know, songs, spiritual songs. So they grow up. Huh? Now, when they grow up, now we say this, my son and my daughter Zoe and Zoya, huh? Me and my wife, we are all both Christian. So they were born, so they were raised up from young. So if you were to ask them, when were you born again? When did you receive Christ? How are they going to tell you? Not like me. Well, you know, my mom was a Christian. Yeah, he talked about us, about the Lord. But I was living with my father and the other first wife together in one big home. So we had the idol then, you know, first of all, believe in that. But I know, of course, there's nothing. It was only until I was in my 10, age 10, 11 years old, or Sodom and Gomorrah talk about Jesus Christ. Now you hear about Jesus Christ, right? Then those kids are went to a Sunday school in the Baptist church nearby. And then we are Sunday school, yeah, learn some Bible things and that. Nothing spectacular until one day they have an evangelistic meeting. And I went up there. And then when the evangelist started to preach the gospel, oh my! The tugging of the heart was real. I went up to the front and I confessed and gave my life to the Lord. I knew I was born again. Oh, but have you received the Holy Spirit? When I don't know what the Holy Spirit is at that time, because I was a kid. I was only 11 and a half years old or so. I know it was real. After 2 years, I went to secondary school. There was a vaccine for 2 years. Never denied Christ, still knowing that Christ is my Savior. So when the Lord brought me back through a sinner, you think about it, you know, God's good pleasure. He performed His own good pleasure. He used a sinner to take me there. I mean, if that sinner did not ask me about, hey, you know, Richard, I never been to a church before. I want to go to see how a church is like, you know. And I know you're a Christian. He said, yeah, but I've not been to church a long time too. So if you want to go, we go this Sunday. You say, how God works it out? And we went. And as I said this, that Sunday's message was, prodigal son, come home. Oh my, I was in a trance. And the preacher was pointing his hand. Prodigal son, come home. Prodigal son, come home. I was just in a trance, seeing a big hand. Come. Come home. And I went out to the front, cried my heart out for 2 hours. Everybody went back. Nobody, I don't know anybody went back. I was in the realm of its own, not knowing who is there and what. The pastor was sitting on the pew behind, you know, because the altar was there. I mean, the pulpit was there, of course, there's the altar where. And he was sitting waiting for me, and I was crying out for 2 hours. I wasn't aware of what happened. Even my friend who went up there, he disappeared. He was not there. After 2 hours, I turned around, and I found myself alone, and the pastor was at the back. You talk about reality. This is something real, but I don't know about Zoe and Zoe when they raised up. It has not something like a sudden change, something special. They raised up as like him or they raised up in a home where the family, mother, father, or grandmother, whoever, they are believers. And so they grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. And they love the Lord. And they can sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Right? They know that Jesus loves them. And of course they come to age and realize, yeah, I'm a sinner, I need to repent. And asking God for the Holy Spirit. And that's what Timothy was like. Chapter 3, Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 14. And 50. But continue thou in the thing which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And therefore, a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So you see, Timothy was raised up in such a way. From a child, you have known the Holy Scripture. And you know the Holy Scripture make you wise unto salvation through the faith that's in Christ Jesus. So you cannot ask a person like Timothy, when are you born again? When were you born again? What day? What time? I mean, a lot of people, some people can say they know what time what they are. That's good. I mean, you know when you are. But a lot of people, they don't. You see? I mean, I know roughly when I come to the Lord, but I don't keep track at what time, what, you know, what day. You see, and Paul said this about Timothy in verse 14. Continue thou in the thing which you have learned and have assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. thrive, knowing whom you have learned them. Paul did not say, "You learn it from me." No, he always spoke in such a way, not pointing to himself. But he wanted them to know, "You have learned from me, of course, of whom you have learned, of the faith that you have." Back to Philippians. So you see, last week, verse 19 again. "For I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Timothy, Paul, Epaphroditus, Luke, Silas, many of these names that we all know well are closely related, to be in the group of Paul. But there are seven persons that Paul loved. And one of them that really Paul loved the most was none other than Timothy. And he said this, that "I will send Timothy because, you know, he loves you too." And there's one thing about to be able to work with someone in a ministry, having the same mind, you know, of caring for the church, in the outreach of certain group. Even right now, I have not been to, you know, Africa for a long time. The last time that is before the COVID, I was only in the Philippines, because it's close by. Now Africa, those brethren that knows me, we worked together all those years. We are still in good relationship. Some of them even ask me questions about certain things. And when they need, yes, they ask, they tell me the need. So we could pray for it and pray the Lord was make available the support for the outreach. Because you see, the ministry of God is not a one-man show or two-man show or ten or things like that. Huh? The outreach of God, the ministry of God, is not just the minister alone, it's the church. The Bible says He has set in the body certain ministration, certain function. Every one of us play a part. Is that not right? Those whom God said, "Go," you did go. Those whom God did not say to go, you can support the going. And that's what happened right here. Paul is in prison. He couldn't go to visit this Philippian believers there. But he said, "I will send to you someone I know who care really, really carefully." He said, verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded." I have nobody else who just having the same mind as me, who love you. The only person who loves you, like I do love you, I care for you, that's Timothy. And he said this, verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's. For all seek their own." 2 Timothy, let's go, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And see what happened here, the record. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 10 to 11. "For Demas," okay, we read from verse 9, "do thy diligence to come shortly unto me," that's writing to Timothy, "for Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christ is to Galatia. Titus unto Damascus. Only Luke is with me." Now, just think about this. Demas is one person who also was with Paul. Now Paul said, "He has forsaken me. In my time of need, when I've been in prison here in Rome, demon decided to go away and love the things of the world. That's all that we know about Demas. We don't know what happened to him, how accident he was, whether he ever come back, or whether he was an apostate. Nobody knows. Yeah, we have believers that could have been a message for 10, 20, 30 years, and then all of a sudden abandoned sheep. Love the things of the world. I don't know what things of the world that demons were looking for. But he says the other, well, they went to Galatia, to Dalmatia, and Luke, only Luke is with me. Now you see, sometimes people are less expected. That you know where all of a sudden disappear from you, forsake you. And it hurts. You know? Especially when people wanted to be somebody that they are not. Verse 22. But you know the proof of him that has the Son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. This is what Paul wrote to the Philippians about concerning Timothy. He said, you know the proof of him that has a Son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. A Son with the Father, not a Son for the Father. Timothy did not serve Paul. He served with Paul. He worked together with Paul for the common good. Do you understand? When Timothy was there to help Paul, and Luke was there to help Paul, they wasn't serving Paul. They were serving God, and this is God's servant. And at a time like this, he needs help. Right? So when you serve somebody, or respect somebody who is God's servant, do you know one thing? You are respecting God. That's why the Bible says that we should edify one another, love one another. Because when we love one another, we are loving God. Because, as I said, the cross, the steadfast. When you are down at the cross, your arm is like that. When you stand at the cross, you have to look up. The first thing you look up all the way straight up. Right? You are not standing there, look from left to right. No, you don't. Because you want to know who is on that cross. You will look down and you will see Christ. When you see Christ, you will see his arm outstretched. And that's the whole thing about it. That's what agape. We cannot love one another if we don't have agape. Now agape is unselfish. Selflessness. For example, Paul said, so when I said to Timothy, you can see the proof that he is a man who is like a son with the Father. Of course, Paul is in his 60s, early 62, 64. But Timothy at that time, well, I don't know, maybe in his 20, 30, maybe half the age of Paul. So consider a son. Let me say this, that let me have a few more minutes before I close. I don't speak too long. You know, in verse 21, I want you to look at that. When Paul said in verse 20 that I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the thing which are Christ. That's very interesting, because we read in Timothy how that Demas left him, went for the things of the world. Now this verse holds true in many churches. among Christian people. You know, last week, Leon, we went to this place in Philippians chapter 1. Let me see. Let's go back there and just recap something there. Chapter 2, concerning verse 5 onwards. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, that was Paul's revelation concerning Jesus Christ. As I said, this verse have caused a lot of people not to really understand the Godhead. Alright? So, what Paul is saying is not, you know, like what denomination said. They say that Jesus Christ was fully God, second person, and was already in eternity with the Father. That's why he was equal with God. But Paul was not talking about that. Paul was talking, writing in what he knew about the Jesus. When he came on earth, when Jesus came to preach on the earth, he heard about him, and then after, when he was converted, Christ appeared to him, taught him. Now, Paul's revelation was such that he knew that this is not about divinity in divinity. You know what I'm talking about? Paul's revelation is about divinity in humanity. God in flesh, God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now, is it difficult ones? The Bible just says so many places. Paul wrote that in many different epistles. The Word was made flesh. Divinity came in flesh. It's not divinity in divinity. That is to say, it wasn't Jesus Christ in the very eternity that became from a spirit, vanishes from a spirit into a body of flesh. And the body of flesh is divine, is God. I said this, if you were there with Jesus Christ, you touch his hand, that hand of flesh, that flesh is not God. Because God is not flesh. God is spirit. Yeah. But God was manifest. See the word manifest? Action. So he walked without manifestation. What is that? Nothing. You show me your work, you show me your faith with your work. You show me your faith with your manifestation. And right, you understand what I mean? And we need to show our work, our faith is manifested. God is spirit. He showed his revelation, his work, his action in flesh. Manifested in flesh. That's what people understand fine very hard from John. And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word became his man, became manifest in flesh. Not spirit disappear, pop, the flesh. And you know how it happened? I mean, you only talk to anybody who is a Trinitarian. The spirit disappeared. It became one egg in the womb of Mary. And then there is the sperm of God. I don't know how, whatever, they spent, fused together. That's that little feet, that little fused there, that's God. One become two, two become four, four, six, eight, 16, 32, and so on and so forth. Hey, that's God developing. Wow. And when baby Jesus was born, oh God, the baby God. You know, that's how people think about. And that's why people don't understand when the Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh, when did that take place? Oh, that took place in Bethlehem. No, sir. When did it take place? in the river Jordan. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. And sometimes people need to have common sense. How is it that you have three gods, one of them called Son, the other one called Father? Come on, if they are equal, come on, if we are equal, I want to be the big boss. Reverend, come on. I want to be the Father. You be the Son. I want you to die. Correct. Father cannot die. So the Son must die. And the Son said, well, what? I'm equal with you. I want to be the Father. You be the Son. You know, you ever think about the craziness? People don't think. And you're like, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery because you made it up. Huh? There are many books out there you can buy with mysteries. All made by man. That's what mystery is all about. So when they come across it, here we have, as Paul here said, in verse, verse 21, Philippians. For all seek their own. Now, that's what happened in the Philippines. I'm going to put this, and then I'm going to strip it off and post it on Facebook. Now, we are supposed to be end-time message believer. But you know, end-time message believer is just a name, it's just a title, or a phrase we talk about, we use. I would like to call truth, true believer, true worshiper. Huh? But out there in the Philippines, mine, in the last, I don't know, 8 years back or so, the gods of the things started in out there. The propagation that Jesus was born of the heir to Mary. And you know, there are some of them out there, they are so adamant that if you do not conform or believe their version of the Godhead, then you are a Gunite, or you are a Jacksonite, or that you are a Branhamite. My name was mentioned there in the Facebook. Three persons' name: Branham, Jackson, Gunn. You see, and there's so much argument and debate over there. And those who propagate that Jesus Christ is born of the egg of Mary, if you don't conform, then they call you Gunnite, and they overuse very terrible words, and they call you names. When I see people like that, I say, are you really Christian? Are you really a believer? Huh? Well, you can go to Facebook and see my dad. They call me all kinds of names too. Wow. And that's why it's so scary about these things. What we know from the scripture, the clarity that Jesus Christ was not born of Mary's egg. I already asked you last week, very simple. Was Jesus in the loin of Adam? Or was Jesus in the loin of any father? Because we know seeds come from the male. Right? Yeah. We know that the Levite, Bible mentioned in the way that you should know, was in the loin of Abraham, their grandfather. The father is Isaac. Levi was in the loin of Abraham, and the Bible said, Paul said, when Abraham gave tithes, Levi was there giving tithes. That tells you, meaning you're talking about the physical genetic line. Is that right? Right? So where was that? Was Jesus Christ in the loin of anybody physical. And we know that the Bible in the book of Genesis about the seed of the woman. When the Bible talks about the seed of the woman, what is the woman belongs to the man. But there was no man. But what was Mary? Jesus was born of Mary. What was Mary's son was also Joseph's son. Because Joseph was her husband. Right? So how are you going to trace that gene? How are you going to trace that? Mary, if Jesus was in the loin of Mary, then where did Mary come from? Don't talk about the egg from the man, just the egg from the woman. Where did the woman get that? Every one of us, you women, sisters here, you're half of your father and mother, right? And you're all traced back to where? To Seth. And mixed with who? All the way to Noah. Come down the line to Noah. First to Noah. The three sons. We all from that lineage. So are we not corrupt? Was not Mary therefore corrupt? Yes. The egg was already mixed. And you know one thing, you can never, 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 ever have a child just by the egg of a woman. No. You can't. You need the other 20, what's it, 23 chromosome? You need the other 23. Where did that come from? It comes from God. And that's how they explain it. That's what Jesus was a God man. That's how they explain it. You got a sperm that God created from the egg of a woman, and the egg of the woman must be sanctified. Why do that? And I explained it so clearly to you that Jesus was a new creation. I want to show you this revelation that people never even touched on it. I told you many times. When Paul talked about the first man, first Adam, the second man, the what? The last Adam. And yet we see a preacher in the end of the message. First man, first Adam. Second man, second Adam. Where do you get that? And yeah, there's one preacher in America that preached a third man, third Adam. And I believe that he's referring to Brother Branham as third Adam or something like that. When you have a first man, man means Adam from the dust. Right? But Adam was created by God out of nothing. Somebody asked me, where did Jesus Christ get the nutrient? Where did he get the nutrient? Of course, he got the nutrient from the food that Mary ate. Right? Sure. Therefore, to them, he said, therefore, it must be seed by the egg of a woman. Hey, come on. Where did God get the nutrient to create Adam? From the soil. From the dust of the ground. It was a complete, matured man on the earth. Not a baby. It was a complete new creation. Never happened before. And at last, the second man. Second man means, what is he called, second man? How can Jesus be a second man when there are so many millions of men before him already, right? What was he called, second man? To understand a man is a creation. Last of them, last creation, man. So simple as that. And yet, as Poirier said, it's true. All have seek their own. They want to do their own thing. And they come up with all this strange doctrine. That's not of God. Do you see how dangerous that is? And if you don't follow them, you don't agree with their doctrine, you are a Gunnite. Or you are a Jacksonite. Or you are a Branhamite. May God have mercy on this, because I remember Brother Oshel, when he went one place to Davao to preach many years ago, he told me, he was sharing with all these ministers, sitting together, sharing about the Godhead. And then after it was almost over, one of the ministers said, "Hey, Brother Oshel, that is Brother God's teaching." Brother Oshel said, "Did I say Brother Gunn said this, or did I ever mention his name?" And then he kept quiet. "Did I not show you the scripture?" You see, people knew what I'm teaching. I told Brother Oshel, I told all the preachers, never mention my name. You can mention Brother Branham's name, never mention my name. Use the scripture. One sister said, "At least the people should, whoever share the truth, you know, that you have with, you know, I mean, the truth that you taught them, it's okay for them to mention my name, because our respect that God has given you the revelation." I said, "I know. Don't mention my name, that's the best. Mention Paul, mention Peter, mention Brother Ben, that's all. Because the moment they mention my name, that's for the day. And my name is all over the world, nobody likes it. Because I'm a renegade. I'm running again for Christ. I run with Christ." May the Lord bless every one of you. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Take the word further, Lord, and break it down. And feed us, O Father. For the hour is really late, Lord, and there's so much confusion all over the world. In every realm, Father, politically, religiously, militarily, financially, and whatever not. But keep your children, Father. Keep those that are yours, Father, in thy word. We thank you, Father. I ask that you bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.